The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. The Explorers podcast is sponsored by RM Capital, a provider of specialist small to mid-cap corporate advisory and boutique wealth management services. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Now today we're in Garen Perro's backyard, or more specifically in the Victorian Goldfields, where we're catching up with North Stork Minerals. It trades under the code NSM, or November Sierra Mike, and last traded at 32 cents for a market cap of around 38 million. North Stork was spun out of the privately held Stork Gold Mines in October last year to undertake, as its name suggests, exploration to the north of the Stork Gold Mine, and historic producer of more than 5 million ounces of gold and still counting. Now, Stawell is the western point of Victoria's famed Golden Triangle, and while its production history dates back to the 1850s, it needs to be remembered that in the modern day life under Stawell Gold Mines, it's added 600,000 ounces to its gold reserves in the last 2.5 years. Now, as we all know, there's that effort alone and the effort by Kirkland Lake over at Fosterville, where a 2.7 million ounce Swan Zone redrew the table of profitable mines around the world. There's a bit of a gold renaissance in Victorian exploration, and North Stork is obviously in the thick of it. We've actually got about 30 gold explorers active in the state now, but few have the walk-up start that North Stork does, courtesy of the data and knowledge it has access to from 40 years of operation by Stork Gold Mines. Now, while the Stork Gold Mine deposit daylighted for the old timers, the potential for repeat multi-ounce discoveries to the north of the mine was kept from them by the veneer of Murray Basin sediments marking rocks to the north. This is where North Stork comes in, drawing on that historical data and understanding, as well as modern exploration tools like geochemistry and geophysics. Its program is building up a head of steam, and we have its CEO, Russell Krause, with us today for an update on where things are at and what to look out for. G'day, Russell. Thanks for your time today and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Barry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Russell, if you could put North Stork, the exploration upside that you see to obviously to the north of the Stork Gold Mine, which is where the company gets its name from, but what is this talk a bit about the Stork Gold Mine, Magdata Dome, and the potential for repeats that the company sees to the north?
Stork Gold Mine, as you've rightly said, has been around for quite a period of time and has been an historic icon, I suppose, in the Victorian gold mining scene. The mine was recently purchased and taken out of mothballs by Arate Capital, Arate Capital Partners, I should say, and redeveloped. Production was recommenced about 2 years ago. And the mine is operating successfully and continuing to expand. What Arate and the team at Stork Gold Mines have done has looked around and increased the reserves. There's been quite an aggressive drilling campaign underground there. The resource numbers keep on coming up. Production keeps on growing. The mine itself is doing particularly well. What the owners of that mine looked at was the opportunity for, as you say, those repeat occurrences of that Magdala Dome, which is the primary structure which hosts the gold system at Stork. The geology of the area indicates that that corridor, that Stork corridor, bound by a couple of major fault lines, has the potential and the geological occurrences to actually carry a significant number of potentially of Magdala type structures. Now, whether they're as large as the one at the mine at Stork or not remains to be seen. The difficulty you have with finding these repeats is that, as you rightly said earlier in your introduction, as you head further north away from stall, you get less outcrop and more Murray Basin cover. So without the outcrop, it's not as obvious as to where these structures potentially lie. So we've had to do a significant amount of geophysical and geochemical work, and at great expense, actually, to try and understand the depth of cover, what the structures are under the basin, the various faulting systems that are likely to carry the gold, and use all of the historic data from the Stall gold mine and the knowledge gained from the people that are working there in order to actually give us the potential chemical and geophysical signatures to uncover some of these Magdala domes. What we've done at North Stall Minerals is over the past 12 months, collate a lot of this data, and particularly over the last 3 or 4 months, refine that data significantly. And we've identified the potential of quite a number of targets, Magdala-style dome targets in the North Stall region. We believe that there's probably a minimum of 12 such potential targets. That's what our initial work has found out. Mm-hmm. And literally numerous multiple anomalies which look like they are gold-bearing anomalies. So our role is now to test those and see what we can actually find.
All right. Just recently, there was an announcement from the company about the Radio prospect, which I think is about 40 k's to the north of the Stall gold mine. So that's a basalt dome structure you'll be testing in an upcoming program?
That's exactly what it is. So over the past 2 weeks, we've put 28 holes into that, just RC holes into that structure. So we've done about 2,500 metres of drilling there just to test this theory. Now, the cover in that particular area is between 30 and 60 metres of Murray Basin sediment. So the reason that we identified, it's simply just in the middle of a pasture area, the reason we identified or were able to identify this area as a potential target was based on the geophysical work that was done that indicated that there was a dome-like structure underneath that cover. So the test results we don't have yet as far as assays back from those drill holes, because we've only just sent the first batch in last week for assaying. What we have done, though, is we have seen from the just from the logging of the holes that we have encountered at the appropriate depths, according to the geophysical work that we've done, basalt intersections, quartz veining, etc., and all the things that look like they're gold-bearing anomaly. So whilst we need to wait for the results and the confirmation, the initial work has our geological team quite excited about what they've seen. And we're on the path to, I think, verifying some of the techniques that we've used and justifying their performance.
Right. And given you have more than a dozen of these sort of structures, why the Radio prospect? Why was that chosen initially?
To be perfectly honest, we're not drilling these structures in terms of priority or anything mm-hmm. like that. What we're actually doing is testing our theories, and actually the weather and access will actually determine the priority of actually accessing the properties to actually put the drill rigs on. Obviously, we're in a farming region in the Stall corridor there. We've got obviously negotiate access agreements with the landowners. There's cropping considerations, but primarily there's weather considerations as well. We don't really want to be putting drill rigs onto softer Murray Basin cover or sediments that might be very good for agriculture, but they're not too good as far as getting heavy equipment bogged and the like. So access is primarily the reason that's going to determine the priority of our drilling campaign, not the quality of the target per se, because we're hopeful that some of these targets are going to yield, and we're not sure which ones are going to supply us with the right result yet.
Right. So have you... is the drill rig available to be moved to the next dome or the next target?
The drill rig currently was just completed the radio targets yesterday. That is now off-site for 10 days, and then it'll be returning basically continuously for the next 6 months, so primarily over the summer period. Obviously, the winter rain prevents access with heavy equipment on a lot of the properties, so... We've actually sort of weatherproofed our program somewhat by gaining roadside access, applying for the appropriate permits and having those secured so that we can actually move that rig around going forward, weather conditions permitting, and getting into positions where we can drill irrespective of the rain.
So if you look at some of the company's recent announcements, I see Ashens, Galathleys, Glenorchy. These are all targets that will be drilled as the months unfold into the summer months.
Absolutely correct. I think Galathleys probably the next cab off the rank, shall we say. Again, weather conditions permitting.
And how are you finding the farmers? The friendly chaps letting you on?
Well, I suppose the good thing is that historically you've had the Stawell gold mines operate in the area. Mm-hmm. And the Stawell team, the Stawell gold mines team, has a very, very good community program. Consequently, there's very good communication with landholders. And I think we've developed a reputation of actually, or as a group, developed a reputation of actually caring for the land and not causing damage. So we're quite careful and conscious that we're on other people's property. So we do what we can and we clean up our mess and we make as little mess as possible. And just in that area as well, obviously the water tables can be a problem when you're drilling. Simply because some of those water tables you're drilling through saline solutions and you do not want to be spraying saline water over farmers' paddocks, etc. So we're very, very careful with our water management and our general management preparation around drill sites. So we leave as small a footprint as we possibly can and we leave the area as clean and as tidy as it can possibly be. So we focus very much on that. And as I said, we've got a very strong community team which we use to pass on the information, and so everyone understands completely what we're doing. And look, there's the odd farmer that doesn't want us on the properties, but by and large, we found the farming community quite supportive. I think they're probably aware at just how much value that mine creates for the region, and as such, they're supportive of it being successful and continuing.
And it's not as if you're cramped. I think you've got 50 k's of strike to test, more or less.
That's pretty much right, Barry. We've got round figures. We've got just over 600 square kilometres of prospective tenements. So there's a host of targets in those tenements. And, you know, whilst I've picked out basically, or our team's picked out 12 that we're more or less starting on, that's by no means the end of it.
Right. We're talking at a point where the Victorian government is apparently about to finally release some exploration blocks around the Fosterville area. I'm not aware whether the company's applied for those, but would you expect an increased investor interest in Victoria post the issuing of those blocks?
I would think so. I think, look, you know, Victorian gold mining generally has had somewhat of a renaissance in recent years, and you know, Fosterville, Stawell, and the like have been featured fairly significantly in that renaissance, particularly Fosterville, courtesy of the size of the mine, etc. So, I think that you know, Victoria is well and truly on the map again, and as you mentioned earlier, there's now something like 30 odd explorers working in the area. So that says something must be going the right way.
Yeah. The drilling that has just been completed at Radio Prospect, very much reconnaissance air core drilling in nature. But as you work through these various targets, you'll get to the stage where you'll start prioritising RC diamond drilling. When to follow up what are hopefully encouraging results, when do you see that sort of program being wheeled out?
Well, we're in the process of trying to secure some rigs for that exact work now. And I would expect that from what we're hearing at the moment and what we're seeing, we'll probably have RC or diamond rig operating. Always tricky to say, but I suspect certainly in the first quarter of next year.
Right. The paddocks will be nice and dry by then.
Paddocks will be nice and dry by then, for sure and certain. And we're hoping that we will have some nice follow-up work for those rigs to be doing.
Something that's interested me from Stawell Gold Mines, that is, they seem to have a lot of success drilling on the eastern flank of the Magdala Dome, which is historically it's been on the other side. Does that have implications for you guys at all?
Look, courtesy of our relationship with Stawell Gold Mines, and that being effectively, even though we're a completely independent company, we have common shareholders in the sense that I think 60-odd% of our shareholding is the same shareholding that actually owns the Stawell gold mine.
Right.
As a consequence, we're really the exploration arm for Stawell gold mines, and probably as a justification or an example just to show that that's absolutely the case, you know, our offices are at Stawell gold mines. We share data where appropriate with Stawell gold mines. And Stawell gold mines are currently in the process of looking at expanding their operations somewhat significantly. And they're doing that in anticipation of success, exploration success, both to the north and the south in that corridor.
So a processing route for a discovery is fairly well laid out.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's one of the advantages of the association. You know, should we be successful in finding a nice, attractive target that can be turned into a mine very quickly, we do not have to go through the process of building a plant or anything like that. We simply have to get our permitting done for the mining operation, and the plant is at Stawell, and we are there to supply them with, hopefully, some good quality gold-bearing ore.
Okay. And just a little update on the Wildwood Dome, where I think there's a small resource already. And some historical results, you know, 12 metres at almost 10 grams a tonne. Is Wildwood taking a back seat while you get this Greenfields exploration kit going?
Wildwood is taking a back seat. It's certainly not forgotten about, though. There is a small resource there. We've just noticed that the structures, and it's largely as a consequence of the geophysical work that's been done post the drilling of Wildwood, it indicates that that is slightly deeper and it's a lot more fractured. Than what was originally believed. So we will explore the areas more or less around, or actually to the north and to the west of Wildwood. And once we feel as though that we understand the structures a little bit more, we'll come back and we'll revisit Wildwood at some point in the future, because we do believe that we know for a start there is a small resource there. We expect that resource is capable of being expanded.
And of course, that corridor is known for other styles of gold mineralisation, not necessarily that is associated with the domes. Doing much work on that front, or is it the domes very much the focus?
Well, domes are probably the easier of the two structures to actually follow up at this point in time, and that's where the main area of focus is. But obviously, you know, the Wonga pit, which is part of Stawell gold mines, operated in the past, and that is a completely different structure to the Magdala structure, yet it's only basically a kilometre and a half away. There's obviously the opportunity for repeats of those Wonga-style structures. We have seen some geochemical signatures that indicate that they're potentially there, but we'll follow up on the domes first, because I think they're probably easier to target initially, but without a doubt, we'll definitely be looking at the Wonga-style deposits going forward.
Yeah, it's a huge land position, lots of juicy targets to get cracking on. How are you off the cash?
Oh, I think we're sitting there at about 11 million or something like that at the moment. The current programs, I think I've got budgeted around about circa $4 million straight off. So we're sitting comfortably with cash at this point in time.
Now, I mentioned earlier the Fosterville release of the blocks. I know you have the relationship with Stawell gold mines, but I was just wondering, given the dominance of your land position to the north of the Stawell mine, are you getting any approaches from, you know, Canadian types who have a particular liking for high-grade Victorian gold?
Well, look, there's always people that are making approaches. They primarily approach via Stawell gold mines. I suppose our main focus at this point in time is just finding a nice big deposit. If we can do that, we'll all be happy, and I guess that will cause more approaches to be made.
Yeah, that's right. I guess it was a bit of a leading question to the market cap of 38 million. If you look at a lot of WA gold explorers who have nowhere near the ground position, nowhere near the prospectivity you guys have, the 38 million market cap seems a bit low to me. What's holding it back, you think?
Well, I think that the only reason that it's sort of more or less held back is it's probably been a little bit of an unknown story somewhat. Whilst the prospectus was oversubscribed, I think that following that, the markets more or less turned a little bit, and the stock was originally floated at 50 cents, and as you say, we're currently 32 or 32 and a half or whatever it is at the moment. I just think that the story hasn't been told. We have had an independent analyst do a review on the company, and I think his target valuation was $1.05.
There you go.
So I think he's in agreement with your assessment, and we're certainly of the view that the stock is undervalued. Obviously, with COVID restrictions and things like that, it's not as easy to market your wares effectively in the investment community these days. But hopefully that's going to come to an end very shortly, and you can rest assured that we'll be upping the ante on the marketing front.
Yeah, of course.
And hopefully have that supported with some good news coming via that drill bit.
No, exactly. Okay. Righty, Russell, just bring it all together for investors. What should they be looking out for, say, in the next 6 months?
Well, the next 6 months, our main priority is to turn that drill bit into those target areas. So I think investors should be focusing on the fact that we're in a gold-bearing region historically, and it's known to host multi-million-ounce deposits. We've got one right at Stawell itself. So we're going to be testing targets, looking for those sort of results. And I think we've got every opportunity with the technology we have to do a fairly good job at trying to find one.
Well, there we go, folks. Very interesting story, and lots to look out for. Initially, of course, initial results from Radio Prospect, but then dome after dome after dome as the year unfolds. So with that, Russell, thanks for your time today and good luck with it all. We'll be watching with interest.
Thank you very much, Barry. I am sure that we're going to provide the market with some exciting news going forward.
Great stuff. Cheers, mate. This episode of the Explorers Podcast was sponsored by RM Corporate Finance, an active participant in emerging companies around the globe.